thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
It's 11.
Here's John Williams.
Hi, it's John. We're in the Skyline Studio A, downtown Chicago. Here weekdays from 9 to noon, it's the John Williams Show.
Lord have mercy.
Recently transplanted from the 1 to 3 o'clock shift. You know, on our old show on Fridays, we would do something called The Bright Side. We're bringing it to the 11 o'clock hour. That's right. You'll start your weekend early with a smile. It's where you call in. You go, John, I'm really happy because my cousin's in town, or because I finally got one of those chicken sandwiches, or our son is home from Afghanistan, or we just came back from the doctor and it's not cancer, or Northwestern just crushed somebody.
You read my mind.
So whatever's making you happy, we want to know about that.
Well, the Bears won.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you guys are right talking to Dan Hampton this morning. It didn't even sound like him and Ed Obradovich.
That's right.
It was like a different
It didn't even
person.
Sound
That's
like right. this show. I will play for you after 9:30 what they normally sound like, set to soft jazz music, and what they sounded like yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's completely different guys.
They were so excited they didn't finish the lasagna.
So I am going to ask Dave Ennett at 9:34 to explain to us, and it's not that hard. A lot of times they say, well, if a left-hander wins the third game and then something else crazy happens, then the Bears make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty easy to get your head around, can the Bears still make the playoffs? What needs to happen? Who do I need to root for and against? And there's really only three steps, right, Dave?
More or less.
At 9:30.
Well, there's more than that.
Don't
I'll
say
explain.
That. The key is make it simple for you to not only yes. appreciate the rest of the Bears season, and of course you're going to root for the Bears. They have to win all their games, but there's right. kind of two
well,
other
see, those are
things.
The three steps, and then there are more.
Okay, see, I don't think you're working with me, Dave. I think we need to row in the same
they
direction
need help.
On this.
They need help. They don't control their destiny.
That's
He's teasing.
True.
He's giving a tease.
That's true.
Don't
exactly.
give too much away.
Oh, well, but
right.
I promise you, I wouldn't be doing this if it was one of those things that I thought, oh, this is calculus and it's too hard. So 9:34, just get a number 2 pencil ready. You won't need much paper. We'll write down what we need to know in order to expect and hope for the Bears to make the playoffs. It could happen.
It could happen.
Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy's played a pivotal role in the impeachment proceedings. I don't want to drill down too deeply into this because that gives me a headache on a Friday and is a little complicated itself. But what is the next step, Congressman? That will be a short conversation we'll have in just a few minutes. WGN Radio's news comes your way at the bottom of the hour. That's 9:14. Maybe a little bit about that then, too. Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy's on the phone. Good morning, Congressman. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, John. How are you?
Good. I wanted to talk to you about the impeachment proceedings, but I also mentioned as we were doing that commercial for the Lung Association, you've been a big advocate of doing something to protect people from vaping devices, e-cigarettes, stuff like that, right?
Yeah, especially our youth. We have a youth vaping epidemic. Almost 28% of our high schoolers are vaping, and just this past week we learned that almost 11% of our middle schoolers are vaping, John, and this is deeply troubling, and, you know, as a parent of three, I'm doing everything I can in Congress to fight it.
Congressman, I saw that statistic, too, and I could not believe it. I mean, I don't have kids in high school right now. I have a niece and a nephew, though. More than one out of four high school kids are vaping. The incidence of cigarette smoking is down. I mean, it's now nowhere near that. But it's amazing to me that over 25% of the kids are vaping or using an e-cigarette.
It is, and a lot of them are basically attracted to vaping through flavors. There are numerous flavors that are advertised and marketed, everything from Tutti Frutti to mango to
yeah.
mint.
Yeah.
And a lot of kids don't even know that it contains nicotine or anything that could hurt them.
So I wonder if these injuries and illnesses are a result of them using legitimate products, or is it in fact not that they're vaping but black market products, THC, things like that?
Could be. The CDC and the FDA are jointly investigating this issue, and it appears that they're starting to find that there's a lot of illicit products, but also THC involved, and when the combination happens, it's as you know, deadly.
One last thing about that, then, Congressman. So, what are you all going to do about that? Are you trying to federally ban the flavored ones, or what can you do about that?
So, on the flavor ban, so to speak, the Trump administration back on September 11th announced that they were going to issue a flavor ban through the FDA's regulatory authority, and we were all cheering because that was exactly the right thing to do, and then. Unfortunately, despite the fact that the president promised that it would happen in a couple weeks from September 11th, here we are 3 months later and nothing's happened. And so we just had a hearing this week to ask the FDA administrator what's going on. We're still hopeful, but we're concerned that the industry has gotten to the White House and may have halted progress in that direction.
What is the timeline for the impeachment proceedings then next week? Do you know, Raj? I know that's not your committee. You were in intelligence, and this is judiciary, but my understanding is they'll write up the articles. Can you give me sort of an overview of what happens next?
So here are the steps. I don't know the timeline, and I'm not really sure that the deadlines have been set for any of these steps. But the first step is... if they choose to do so, they would draw up articles of impeachment. Then the next step would be to vote on those articles of impeachment within their committee. And then if it gets approved by the committee, then it would go to the full House, and a vote would have to happen before it was sent to the Senate.
Oh, I see. Okay. Boy, it's funny because every time you say, okay, we're there, we're not even there yet. Your committee had hearings, then the next committee had hearings. Now that committee's going to draw up articles, and then that committee will vote on the articles. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes. And I think that, quite frankly, I think that things are still fluid with regard to those articles. I'm not a member of that committee, so I can't tell you, who's actually putting pen to paper and so forth. But, conceptually, there are, different views about those articles and so forth.
Is there something that was most pivotal to you in either the intelligence or the Judiciary Committee hearings? Was there some moment where you said, okay, now we have to go forward?
I think my moment came before that, when Mick Mulvaney, came out in a press conference, I think in mid-October, and basically said, of course there was a quid pro quo. Military aid was held up for an investigation of the president's domestic rivals. And then he said, get over it. And I think when he said that, I think that caused a lot of people, not just myself, to basically say, look, we are not going to accept that attitude or that approach to wrongdoing.
That's interesting, Congressman. I mean, you'll vote, I won't, but I remember when Mick Mulvaney said that, and it was shocking, and it got a lot of attention, and the next day, he walked it back. He said, I didn't mean get over it. Of course, we're trading favors for money, but that's the way he put it, and his soft peddling of it the second day was, of course, there's horse trading in politics, but we weren't trading aid to Ukraine for the investigation. And I wonder if somebody like you should not remember, repeat, and consider that as well.
So I think that there's always, quote-unquote, horse trading, and of course we engage in understandings and agreements, like in return for our aid, you will be sure to invest that aid in some kind of economic development initiative, and there will be anti-corruption initiatives. But never has it been legal to use an official act to then, gain a private benefit. In other words, in return for this official act, namely giving aid, you will help me in my political campaign.
Steve Bertrand from our newsroom is also in the studio. Steve?
Congressman, I'm interested in the eventual articles of impeachment, and as I understand it, there's a debate now among Democrats about whether to include a count or two from the Mueller report in this Ukrainian part of the impeachment, and I just wonder where you stand on that.
I don't want to get ahead of my Judiciary Committee colleagues. I think that my
my own opinion, for what it's worth, is we want to bring maximum clarity to the proceedings. And the Ukraine issues, to me, are rather easier to understand than anything else.
So adding counts would muddy the waters.
It could. It would just add potentially to the number of issues that need to be clarified and explained. That doesn't mean that it can't be. It can't serve as kind of a backdrop for what happens, because after all, you know, I remember distinctly Bob Mueller came in and testified on July 24th. And he specifically said, as we sit here now, we should do everything we can to make sure no foreign power interferes in our upcoming election. And then the very next day, July 25th, President Trump calls President Zelensky and asks him to interfere in our election by investigating his arrival. So we can, I think it's fine to talk about the Mueller report in that regard. I would just say that it would require more explanation if it becomes part of the article. That's probably more of a factual statement than anything else.
Fair enough. 30 seconds left, Congressman. The one professor who was able to testify on the Republicans' behalf yesterday said that we're moving too quickly on this. Is that a concern of yours?
Gosh, I think that with all of the depositions and all of the hearing testimony and the opportunities for the other side to participate, I don't see how we're moving too quickly. I do wish we were able to access more documents and talk to more witnesses. If that lengthened the proceeding, that would be fine. But as of right now, I think there's wrongdoing occurring as we speak in the White House with regard to our foreign policy. So if for no other reason, we need to wrap up and make sure we stop it.
8th Congressional Representative Raja Krishnamurthy from Schaumburg. Thank you, Congressman. We appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thank you so much, John.
Have a good day.
This is the pile of steaming you-know-what that the 2019 100-year season of the Bears has been reduced to.
This is what it was always like after a Bears game. Dan Hampton, Ed Obradovich, Glenn Kozlowski, Mark Carman kind of keeping them all together.
The quarterback.
It looked like he was crying. Dan and I were looking. I said,
he might have been. He might have been.
I hope he wasn't crying. I mean, there's no crying in football.
Our offense is set up not to score touchdowns.
And they just, the poor guys, I mean, you know, we hated to see the Bears lose the games, but at least they were the sort of mouthpiece for what everybody was thinking and feeling. And then people would call in. So that's the typical, I hate to say this, even when they won this year, that was what the Bears post-game show sounded like.
It's very sad.
Last night after the Bears game.
This is exactly what we needed from the Chicago Bears tonight. Hey, this is almost like a holiday feel-good story.
Finally, on a meaningful game at home, we pull off a victory.
Guess what? Boom! Our undermanned defense takes them apart at the seams, and Mitchell Trubisky played like the gunslinger tonight, OB. 3 touchdown passes, 1 rushing touchdown.
Let's start playing big boy football, and finally it starts to happen. Anybody can win a game at any time. It's the National Football League. You know, I remember back in 63, we lost one game. You know who we lost it to? The 49ers. You know how many games they won that year? 1. They beat us.
So anything can happen, says even Ed Obradovich, who has not been a happy guy this year. I was worried about his digestion over Thanksgiving. But what do you know? Maybe we can make the playoffs. And the guys were just positively chipper last night. I checked my radio dial to make sure I was listening to the right radio station, for crying out loud.
Okay, right. I'm telling you, Dan Hampton this morning.
Yeah.
That was the happiest I've heard Hamp
happiest
on a morning after a Bears game, since last year, anyway.
9:42, this is WGN. All right, Dave Ennett, so just help me understand the rest of the season, because I thought we were toast, and now we've started to win games, 4 out of our last 5. The Bears need to, number one, win the rest of their games, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Win out. I mean, not not figuratively, literally, if we lose one game, we're not in the playoffs. Number two, if we do that, we still need the Rams to lose twice.
Correct.
This is not that complicated. There's only one other step in our minds we need to keep in mind. So Bears win, 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 and Rams of the remaining three games need to lose twice, correct?
That is correct.
And they've got a tough schedule. They play Seattle one night. They play the 49ers one time.
They on the road.
And they play the Cowboys.
They play in Dallas. And I know that Dallas doesn't look very good at the moment, but they're a very talented team, and they could be playing for their coaches' livelihood.
Okay, so as you're sitting there in your living room watching the games, Bears win. Pay attention. Next 3 weeks, Rams need to lose twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other thing needs to happen. What's that?
The Minnesota Vikings,
yeah,
holding that last wild card spot. They need to lose once before they play the Bears. And obviously, since the Bears need to win out, that includes beating the Vikings in Week 17.
So essentially, the Vikings need to lose two of their last three games, one of which will be the last game of the season for us.
Two of their last four.
Two of the last four. And one of those games is against the Packers, correct?
It is against Green Bay at home.
Yeah.
So here's the weird part.
I like
that.
I mean, so go Green Bay.
Here's the crazy part. That means Bears fans will be in the position of having to root for the Packers.
We will.
Assuming the Bears have taken care of their own business. I mean, look, it could all end at Lambeau next Sunday.
We
got to
beat the Packers, too.
At home in 2 weeks against Kansas City.
All right. Bears went out.
Mm-hmm.
Rams lose twice, and Vikings lose one or more games before we play them in the last week.
If they lose twice before the Bears play them, that's even better.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll be rooting for the Packers when they're not playing us. Okay, now that's not too hard for me, Dave. I can do that.
That's right. Yeah, there's no point differential. You don't have to worry about that stuff.
Right, thank you very
much. Common opponents, all that.
Our news click, by the way, at WGNradio.com was yesterday. Lori Lightfoot says you can smoke weed on your own property, even outside. Or is that the new? That's the new news click, right? Elf, that's the old news click. Now I'm confused. Because
the news click is actually, we've noticed more and more dogs in more and more restaurants and businesses. A, oh, that's so cute. I like this trend. Or B, I do not.
Yeah. 76% of you are saying, I do not like this trend of pets in stores. We're going to talk a little bit about this in the next hour. 24% said, oh, that's so cute. I love this trend when I see dogs in restaurants, bars, and stores. You can't be in the middle, but I kind of am. But I'm a little surprised at how hostile people are to the idea.
So I'm walking into my local bakery, you know, so they usually have news on the radio, and I said, so what's the deal with the music? And they said, well, it's Sinatra Sunday. And they were 28 years old to 32 years old, sitting in, having a cup of coffee, listening to a little Frank. They said it's the best way to ease into their day.
Now this could only happen to a guy like me, and only happen in a town like this.
Yeah, it goes well with your coffee while you're making pancakes, hanging out, reading the paper on your iPad. Ease your way into a Sunday morning with the sounds of Frank Sinatra.
This is my kind of town, Chicago is.
The show is called The Sinatra Hours.
What a lovely little piece of production that is. How are you, Dave? Nice to see you. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Dave Plyer's in our studio.
What's going on, buddy?
You hear him weekends on WGN Radio late at night, and then again the next morning, and now we're going to hear you Sundays from 6:30 to 9?
6:30 to 9.
6:30 to 9 a.m.
So you can still get your Rick Pearson and stuff later in the day.
By the way, 11 to 1 on Fridays, is that
11
right?
11 to 1 on Fridays, yeah.
And then early on Saturday mornings, too, or Sunday mornings?
Sunday mornings, 3 to 5 will be an encore of the Friday show.
Got it.
Which is kind of cool.
But the one that, and hooray for you and us and all of that, but the one that people are really excited about is this Saturday morning show, a Sinatra music show.
Yeah.
Here on this AM radio station of ours.
Little throwback, Sunday morning, 6:30.
I like the sound and feel of that. And exactly what you were saying in that promotional piece, I think, is so true. I just think it fits the mood and the lifestyle of people on a Sunday morning.
Absolutely. And I was thinking about, you listen to Sinatra all day long, you can do it all day long, but that story about the bakery was totally true. When they first asked me to do it, I walked in my bakery, and they usually have the news on or whatever, and I'm like, what's with this? The Sinatra. She goes, well, we do this every morning. I mean, this is the best way to have a cup of coffee and relax and read the paper. And I thought, yes, got that.
But you've been a Sinatra file all along.
I have been. I have been. I love talking to the legends, actors, actresses, musicians, all that other good
well,
stuff.
Well, you do a lot of that. But has yeah. Sinatra always had a, you've always had a sweet spot for Frank?
The whole Rat Pack.
Yeah.
Seriously.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Downstairs in the last house we lived in where we actually had room for a pool table, we had a great big poster of the Rat Pack, a black and white one.
Yeah.
They're playing pool.
You've
probably
yeah.
seen it before.
I know exactly the one you're talking
and
about.
And so
yeah.
Dean's there. Joey Bishop is there. Mm-hmm. Sammy Davis. Frank. I think that's the five. Maybe Peter Lawford is
yeah,
there,
Peter
too.
Yeah, Peter Lawford. Mm-hmm.
So that's the Rat Pack, all five of them, shooting pool with their drinks and their cigarettes on the table. And that's just sort of the image of them. What's your favorite Sinatra album?
Oh, I have to say Sinatra's Sinatra. I love Old Blue Eyes Is Back because you really could tell there was so much emotion in that album because he kind of retired and he thought he was washed up and done. And then he came back and recorded these beautiful songs. And you could just tell the pride in his voice as he recorded it.
Antonio Carlos Jobim and Frank Sinatra is a good LP.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
The Main Event one where he came back and did a live concert at Madison Square Garden,
yeah,
I think
yeah,
it was,
yeah.
was an album that my friend Marty Seiler gave to me in 1979 when we were at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. And he goes, I know this is weird because here we are in college and we're a couple of guys and I was going to Carbondale. And he came down to visit me and he said, but just listen to this. Kind of on a weekend morning.
Yeah.
So I throw this Sinatra LP on, and I knew if Sinatra would pay any attention to him, and kind of became a fan because of that album.
Sure.
And then I just sort of collected the albums myself over the years, too.
What's pretty cool is, I mean, we purchased about 400 songs so far, but there's about 1,100 Frank recordings. I mean, because there's variations of the songs, there's live music and stuff. What really kind of ingrained me in this was about 7 years ago, I had met Don Rickles, and Don's manager, and I've seen him about a dozen times, so I'm a Rickles file too. So whether it was Atlantic City or Vegas or here in Chicago, and his manager is Tony Opetisano, who was Frank's manager, one of Frank's managers since 73. And I would stand backstage with Tony, and he would try to squeeze in a million stories with me. And ever since Don passed away, I talked to this guy like once a month, and he's just pouring out his soul and telling the best stories.
Sinatra and Rickles' manager.
Yeah, yeah, Tony Opetisano. So Tony just got a book deal with Simon & Schuster to write the definitive book
on
Frank.
Oh, no kidding, really?
Yeah. And he's agreed to sit down with me and just tape a bunch of stories. And we're going to kind of, it's going to be mostly a music show, but you're going to get a couple sound bites here and there of the people that knew him.
It's funny because there's a lot of ways to tell the Sinatra story. I remember when Kitty Kelly's book came out and it was pretty gossipy.
Yeah.
I remember Larry King was interviewing Kitty Kelly about it. And he said, leave Frank alone.
Yeah, I bet he did. I bet he did.
Because Frank was a complicated character.
Yeah.
You know?
But there's a level of respect, I mean, for Frank. I mean, you know, they talk about, you know, we mentioned even in the show opening, you know, Johnny Carson making fun of the mobster connections and all that other stuff. But this show will be obviously a higher level of respect for Frank during this conversation.
Well, and let's hear the music, too. So you're going to be play like a DJ here at this old radio station of ours playing Frank Sinatra.
Exactly,
records.
Exactly.
Now, if I do a Spotify channel and I do the Frank Sinatra channel, a Dean Martin song will pop up. Are you only going to do Sinatra songs?
For right now, we're going to hit Sinatra, but actually the week before Christmas, we're going to do a Christmas with the Rat Pack. So we are going to have a little Dean Martin, a little Sammy Davis Jr.
I'm okay with that.
There, right? Yeah, because I mean, it's the vibe. It's the same vibe, right?
It would feel very consistent. But I'll tell you what, if you did 2.5 hours of Sinatra on any given Sunday morning, little chatter, little news in the background, I'm a fan already, and I haven't heard a bit of it.
Well, you know, and I've dug into a lot of the songs too, so I knew some stories, but now I'm really digging deep and thinking, you know, about, you know, Cole Porter loved when Sinatra recorded his songs, but he hated the fact that Frank would change the lyrics on every single song. But
I didn't notice that.
But he kept letting him do his music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. The arrangers that he worked with were just the best in the business.
Yeah.
And he was such a perfectionist, too. When you hear a Sinatra record, I don't know how many takes some of those cuts would take, but they demanded the best out of Frank. Frank demanded the best out of himself, and he demanded the best out of the orchestra.
He did. And, you know, his music on AM radio, that's how it all started for Frank, quite frankly, right?
Yeah.
And if you really want to hear it in all its glory, then tell Alexa to play, you know, WGN Radio on TuneIn, right?
So this will be Sunday mornings.
Sunday mornings.
6:30 to 9.
And it will not be podcasted. It's a big music rights thing. So, I mean, you can only listen to it live.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to email you my requests.
Yes, okay. Yeah, please do.
What's the song you're going to open the show with?
It's Sunday.
Oh, it, very nice. I don't know that song.
I see, and that's the thing, too. So we're digging up. I mean, we can't do My Way and Come Fly With Me every single week. So we want to dig a little deeper and do some new music. So it's opening up with a song called It's Sunday. It was from the early 1980s. It was Frank and a guitarist and a mic in a studio, and that was it. And it is such an easy song. He's talking about reading the paper, having some coffee.
How nice. That's this Sunday morning.
That's this Sunday morning.
At 6:35, yes. Maybe after the news.
Sure, something like that.
All right, Dave.
Thanks, John.
Congratulations to you in advance. What a great idea. Have fun with that.
We'll do.
Sinatra and Plyer are back. It's 9:56 this Sunday morning, 6:30, WGN. 10:08 on WGN. Somebody texted in, please explain to me the excitement of going to the playoffs. If there's no way you're capable of winning the Super Bowl, we should end our misery sooner rather than later.
There's the dark cloud we were waiting for.
There's the glasses half empty. I mean, come on now. If the Bears made, this was the news click yesterday, it's like, can you even root for this team? Then they won again last night, and they look like the team that we'd always thought we'd have this year. Even Ed Obradovich and Dan Hampton were saying nice things. They were positively cheery. I checked my radio dial. But, I mean, if they make it to the playoffs, I think we're all going to have a little emotional whiplash, but then strap up and root them on. That'd be fun. And if they lose the playoffs, I can't imagine you going, oh, well, that wasn't worth the ride. That was no fun. No, it's very fun when you win, and it's not fun when you lose.
They should have laid down for the draft choices, John.
I know. It doesn't work that way so much in the NFL anyway. Witness Mitch Trubisky. I mean, you can't know if the first-round pick you're going to take is going to be dynamite anyway. Yesterday about this time, we were talking a little bit about some great gift ideas, stocking stuffers or whatever, and I just mentioned that a neighbor of mine, as I was walking by a couple of nights ago, was jumping his wife's SUV with a battery pack that was the size of a paperback book. It was the smallest little thing. Instead of pulling two cars up and getting the jumper cables and stringing them out and hoping you do it right, you literally pop the hood. You get one of these little battery starters, a car starter, a jump starter. Some of you are saying, John, it's not a recharger for your battery. It's a jump starter for the car. Either way, the car starts. So it's so small, you can carry it in your purse. This guy had it under the front seat of his vehicle. He told his wife, just take it out. She takes it out. There's two little clips that click onto the, say, frame of your car in the positive terminal, and vroom, the car started up. It's like $50 or $60. You could spend $200 for one of these. They have portals, too, so that, you know, ports so that you could recharge your phone or your laptop, and it's a charger that, it's this jump starter that you need to keep recharged, so don't let it the juice in it expire. But some of them will hold the charge for up to a year. And I thought, what a great gift idea. And a lot of you texted in yesterday and said, where do I go? What brand do I get? I have no information for you on that. That is, Menards has them. Home Depot has them. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Ace Hardware. You can get these things everywhere. And I have never paid any attention to that. But wow, oh, wow, oh, wow, have I read a lot of text messages from you folks. 309, Dad jumped a dead car battery 40 years ago. The last hookup caused a big spark. It ignited the hydrogen fumes, and it blew the car battery up. My dad held his ears and river danced around the car when it happened. Fun times. That's the way we used to do it. You don't have to do it that way anymore. John, hi, I had to have my car jump-started, called AAA. The service guy shows up with one of those little portable chargers that you could fit in your purse. He pulls up with a great big truck. You know, you could start a 747, and he just takes this little thing out like you and I could have had for $49 in our glove box. John, you call it a jump-starter, not a portable battery charger. Yep, I got that. My husband gave me one of those car jumpers to each of our kids when they drove their own cars. It also has a pump to fix a flat. My daughter was the most popular person at college with that thing. We would not allow the kids to get a driver's license without knowing how to jump the car or change the tire. The other thing that surprised me yesterday, Mary, I don't know, did you chime in on this, Mary, was pets inside businesses, bars, restaurants, and stores. Are you for it or are you against it? Do you like this trend or do you not like this trend?
I don't like the trend in general, especially the restaurants. I say no to the restaurants because, like people have said, you know, dogs, it's unsanitary. you know.
I did not know this, but yesterday, as I was walking down the steps on my red line to catch the train, who's standing at the top of the steps waiting for me but one Steve Dale?
Oh. Did you ask him?
So I said,
of course,
Steve,
how
are you?
Go for it.
Well, when you're with Steve, you pretty much have no choice. You're going to end up talking to Steve about pet issues.
Right.
And travel. He's a nice guy. He's got lots of things to say. But anyway, we were talking. And he said, well, it's against the law to have a pet. You cannot legally have your dog in a restaurant. If they serve food, it's against the law to have the animal in there. Done.
What about an outdoor cafe? Because there's a ton of places that allows dogs to just hang out outside.
As
you know,
I recall, he
one
mentioned
in our town,
that.
I mean,
yeah, and I think if you're eating al fresco, if you're mm-hmm. eating on the sidewalk, I think it's okay. Not 100% sure of that. Rescue dogs are different. If you have service dogs. If you have a bona fide service animal in need, then it's okay to bring that dog in. But a lot of the dogs I'm seeing in the stores and restaurants are not service
animals. People are calling them their comfort dogs now. Everybody has a comfort dog.
I know, which I don't think is the same as a
No.
Although that's a good
question.
Well,
people with anxiety.
I know, that's
like
a bona fide thing.
A lot of them have dogs now.
Right. So these are not people who aren't sighted. These aren't people with some sort of disability. These are people who have extreme anxiety, say, and the dog makes them comfortable. You've seen them on airplanes, restaurants, bars, and stores.
Or diabetics.
John and them have wait a minute, what's a diabetic have to do with having a comfort
I don't know.
Dog?
Sometimes they can sense if the person needs insulin.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of people that need and have service dogs now. So do they count as well? I don't know. You know, it's
630 texted in and said, I work at an upscale department store in town. And we see dogs all the time, and it kind of bothers me, but what can I do about it? 309, in Europe, well-behaved animals are welcome in most establishments. Unfortunately, in America, the problem will be human owners and their bad behavior. 309, this is a health department law in the state of Illinois that states dogs cannot be in a food setting or selling establishment. Yeah, a lot of you do not like seeing them at the grocery store when you're at the Jewels.
Mm-mm.
And somebody's pushing their dog around.
There's a restaurant near me that's called like the Dog House or something where people, you're encouraged to bring your dogs.
Some of them have dog Saturdays. Show up with your dog and we'll all have brunch together. Just telling
it's
you,
big thing now.
The law is if you're serving food in there, you cannot do that. John, my Shih Tzu has terrible anxiety. I shop the stores that let her bring her in. Let me bring her in. So it's not my anxiety, but the dog has anxiety. Although somebody else sent me a note and they go, every time I see a dog at the store, I look at the dog and the dog looks at me and the dog is like, I'm in a Home Depot. I could be on the sofa taking a nap right now.
Yeah.
Are you sure that the dog loves this?
Yeah. Does a dog really like to go everywhere with you? I mean, come on.
Okay. 312-981-7200.
Dogs like to sleep and eat. And
what have you seen? And by the way, more than a few of you have also said, better those dogs than those bratty kids that I see in restaurants. I'd rather sit next to an animal.
Humbug.
By the way, about giving gifts or just having one of those car starters, one of those little jumper gadgets. LOL, John, 847. I had occasion to use my jump starter last night. My husband was trying to leave to go watch the Bears game with his friends at a local bar. His truck would not start. I had the jump starter thingy in my car. I handed it over to him. He was able to start his truck and go watch the Bears win. Have you experienced My Pillow bed sheets yet, by the way? These sheets are incredible, and they'll make a perfect holiday gift, too. My Pillow bed sheets, guaranteed to be the finest bed sheets that you'll ever own. Right now, My Pillow is offering buy one, get one free sets of bed sheets, plus free shipping. That means something. That's a great offer. Use the promo code WGN at checkout. You can get a set of MyPillow bed sheets for a family member or friend and keep one for yourself. MyPillow bed sheets are made with 100% certified Giza Egyptian cotton. They're ultra soft and breathable. You'll love how these sheets feel. And MyPillow is extending their money-back guarantee through March 1st. Try them out. If you don't like them, you can return them for a full refund. MyPillow bed sheets will make the perfect gift this holiday season. Call 1-800-299-9579, 1-800-299-9579, or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code either way, WGN, for the buy one, get one set free bed sheets, plus free shipping. MyPillow.com. Remember, you're going to want to type in WGN as your promo code. It's 1020. Patty, you're on WGN. What can we do for you this morning, Patty? Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
This just hit home because, it's funny you mentioned Home Depot a couple minutes ago. My husband told me a story just a couple days ago. He was hitting Home Depot, and he was pretty shocked. This young guy, I asked him how old he was, and he said he was probably in his 30s. Brought his dog in, medium-sized dog, and like right in front of my husband, he saw this. The dog left 4 poop piles and walked away. He walked away. And this employee was standing there, and she said, sir, sir, and he just kept walking away.
Yeah, no kidding.
4 piles. Yeah, so I'm against them. I saw one in someone's pouch the other day in Walmart, a dog in someone's, a coat pocket pouch.
Yeah.
No, they shouldn't be in stores. Not when they do that to walk away. They leave piles.
Wow.
So.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so embarrassing. I mean, I hate it when my dog does it outside and a passerby just happens to notice. It's never a comfortable situation, but in the aisle at a store, wow, that's not good.
But then walking away, just leaving it, walking away. He left it and walked away.
God.
Customer.
Well, there's something that somebody working at Home Depot did not sign up for. They should.
Exactly.
That's combat pay. Thank you for the call,
exactly.
Patty.
Sure.
Have a good day. My best to you and your family. And Karen, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Hi. I inspected restaurants for 30 years, and you cannot bring a dog on a property that serves food even outside on the cafe. And also, people, when they bring them in, they lie, and they say they're emotional support animals. Emotional support is not considered to be a service animal, so it's not allowed.
Oh, this is what Mary was saying. Comfort dogs actually don't qualify for getting in places, huh?
Nope. There is an exception for like service members who have a PTSD. It's considered to be a service animal for them.
Yeah.
But because you can't go in because it upsets you, that's not considered to be a service animal.
Yeah. Okay, so what is the difference between a therapy dog and an emotional support dog or a pet?
I don't think there is a difference. You know, the service animal, you can ask two things when somebody comes in. You can ask if it's a service animal and what service it provides.
If I can't walk very well or something like that, huh?
Or if you have, let's say you have a low blood sugar or you have epilepsy seizures and things like that.
Or like PTSD,
but,
too.
Yeah, well, she said, yeah, for veterans.
You can do that for service, for service members, but you can't, I get upset. I can't be without my dog. And that's when people lie. That's normally what they say.
Well, do you know?
And
so
it's not a certain.
You are a health inspector. What about if it's a department store, Home Depot? They're not serving food there. Can I bring my dog legally into Home Depot?
I bring my Sheltie in there. She doesn't poop in the middle. I mean, if we had any trouble with her, she wouldn't go. But we had, let's say, control over grocery stores, bars, restaurants like that, and they can't. And it is a huge, I mean, I love my dog, but I don't want my dog in a restaurant or a grocery store.
This must be the most violated law in Chicago then, especially in the summer, where you have open air bars and restaurants and then patios. But even like where I live, there's a bunch of bars and restaurants that have sort of open air seating out on the sidewalk. Same menu. It's raw, and then they usually have a little gated area, maybe some flower pots or fencing. You can't have your dog there. Is that correct?
No. Actually, if you want, there have been variances that have been taken up by the state that if you have a bar or if you just have somebody can just bring like a beer outside or something like that, they can do that, but they have to go through a variance and say things like, how are you going to do? I mean, who's going to clean up the poop? What happens if there's a dog fight? The waiter's not there to serve your dog water or treats or anything like that. So there's a big, it's a huge issue.
That's very interesting. I appreciate your call. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Hey, by the way, I grew up with Shelties. Nope, she's gone. I grew up with Shelties. We had Sir Lancelot, and then we had Laddie. Laddie and Lance were our two Shelties. Little toy collies.
Sir Lancelot, that's so cute.
They were adorable. But I'll tell you this about Shelties. We don't know anything about her dogs. Ours were a little high maintenance. Those are high energy dogs. They're bred to herd sheep and not sit in the living room. And so they can get wound up. They're adorable. But I'm not sure that they would work well in grocery stores or narrow aisles at a hardware
restaurant.
Store. Yeah.
No.
Well, that's the thing. Some dogs are very food ready, and other dogs, you could put a steak on a plate and they won't go for it. It depends on the dog and the owner.
Plus their tails, like I have a black lab grand dog, right. And that tail is constantly whack, whack, whack. That thing would whack food off plates quicker than, don't want to bring that thing in a restaurant. No
Lisa,
way.
You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about that lady that just got off the air. I don't know about the logistics of the restaurant and all that, but I do know that she is so wrong on so many levels of what the dogs are considered. I'm a home care nurse, and I know for a fact that you are not allowed to ask what your dog is, why you have the dog, anything like that. That's against the Disabilities Act. It's against HIPAA laws. It's just all emotional dogs are the same. PTSD, none of all that. They're all the same.
Yeah. And maybe the point was not that. I appreciate your call. I don't know how this goes. Maybe her point was that you don't get to ask that at the restaurant or store, but if you are going to qualify for one of those dogs, then you need to demonstrate that you have PTSD, you're not sighted, you're diabetic, something like that, right?
Well, that might be true, too, but emotional therapy dogs are the same as a PTSD dog. That's emotional therapy as well.
Yeah.
I have two special needs children as well, and I also have two emotional therapy dogs.
Ah, I see. We'll see. Fair enough. I appreciate the call. Thank you. It's 10:26. We'll pause here. We're going to do the news in just a couple of minutes. I think that if you have a bona fide need for that animal, then I'm not going to quibble with you. I'm not real bent out of shape about this. But if you just love your dog so much it makes you feel good and that's comforting, I don't think that's the same sort of comfort service that we should be talking about here. Lazy Dog Restaurant in Vernon Hills allows dogs on their patio.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's why they maybe call it Lazy
Dog.
Yeah,
it's not that they allow, they encourage. It's a place where people bring their dogs to eat.
I don't think they're supposed to do that. By the way, speaking of gifts, you know, we were talking about battery car starters, jump starters. A friend of mine shared with me a tweet, or she tweeted and I retweeted it. And it's of a family, I don't know where, but they put on their front step like a little box, and it has Doritos and potato chips and then bottles of water and soda and energy drink.
Yeah.
And it says, thank you to the service men and women who deliver via FedEx or UPS or whatever, all of our stuff, and make shopping so much easier. Because people are coming and going all day long.
That's a good point, because you give your mailman a Christmas gift, but these guys are sort of anonymous.
And they are doing some work.
Several times a day.
So they had the camera, you know, where people are now watching their front doors and videotaping it, and she posted the video. And you see, like, a UPS person or whatever come up, and they're setting the thing down on the front step, and then they look to the right, and the camera's positioned to capture this, and they go, oh. What? And then they read and they go, oh my God, thank you. And then they reach in and they don't take all of them. They take a bottle of water or something. And then the person does a dance, a happy dance, right there on the front step, singing and walking back to their truck. It's the nicest thing.
And then they're punished because they're not supposed to do that.
Do happy dances or take food from?
Take food from.
That's probably a violation. When I get to be king, that will not be a violation, Steve Bertrand. So I don't know if that's something you want to try and do. I just saw somebody else retweet my tweet and said, yeah, I'm going to do that, or we already do. But what a thoughtful idea this day and age. It's 10:34. This is WGN. I'm John Williams here weekdays from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. If you want to see that tweet and share it, I'm WGN King John on social media. By the way, on my Facebook page, we posted last night the new Mincing Rascals podcast. That was judged by the Illinois Broadcasters Association. Best podcast in the state last year and year before that, or this year. It's the most recent year for which they handed out the award. And before that, the Headliners Club in Chicago gave us the Lissiger Award. It's a good podcast with some smart folks talking about local and national issues. This week, we talked a lot about Eddie Johnson. We talked about that body slamming story. Or the police officer body slammed that guy who allegedly spat on him or spit on him and licked him, for crying out loud. All of that's at WGNradio.com and on the John Williams Facebook page, too. I'm WGN King John. Hey, Sue, it's John Williams. What can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hi, I was just calling. I'm visually impaired and use a guide dog, and I'm just calling in regards to the problems that it causes those of us who need our service dogs, that people bring their untrained dogs out. I've been into two stores with my guide dog, and the store owners have had their own pets in the store, and my dog's been attacked by their dog.
That's funny because I'm thinking now of a couple of shops I know where the owner had their dog there, and the dog was not always nice, and I didn't always love. You know, it kind of kept you from wanting to go to that store.
Right. Well, the one I will never go into again. The one store, the owner profusely apologized and said, unfortunately, our dog doesn't like black dogs, and my guide dog at the time was all black, and it's like, well, then why do you have your dog in the store?
No kidding.
But, you know, they are very helpful for me when I go into their store, and so, it, you know, I've kind of given them grace. The other one I will never go into because he got mad at me and kicked me out of the store, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not the one in the wrong.
And you said that you're not, you can't see? Are you blind?
I am blind, yes.
Boy, that's a tough reach. So I'm mad at you, the blind person with the service dog, because my dog nipped at your dog, and I'm kicking you out of the store?
Oh, it attacked my dog.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it attacked my dog. Yeah. I've been into restaurants. Well, one restaurant in particular, I retired my very first dog a year and a half ago and got a new dog, and I ran into a manager out on the street one day with my new dog, and he says, oh, bring your retired dog in with you someday. And I'm like, I'm not bringing her in. She's retired. She's now a pet. I don't want other people bringing their pets into restaurants. I'm not going to break the rule. Oh, but your dog is so better behaved than all those other
dogs. That's
true, yeah. But it's like, I'm still not going to break the rule.
All right, Sue. I appreciate your call. Good story. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Hey, Derek, are you listening to all of this?
Yes.
You're on the air, man.
Hey, I bring my dog into Home Depot, but I make sure to... my dog is trained. She acts better than most of the kids in Home Depot. If the dog is pooping down the aisle, it's not the dog's fault. It's the owner's fault.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, but...
I'm all for bringing the dog... I mean, a restaurant, no. Dogs shouldn't be anywhere near a table with food, none of it. A Home Depot or whatever, as long as your dog's well-behaved, it's not the dog's fault. The owner is ignorant that way.
I think the dog, you know, I said earlier about Home Depot, and somebody said every time I see a dog in a store, I get the feeling the dog doesn't want to be there. I think the dog does. I think the dog wants to be with you. The dog spends way too much time on the sofa. If the dog can go with you, I think you're having a good time. I think the dog is having a good time.
My dog loves being at the store.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, Derek, thanks for listening. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good day. Dan, but I would say, like, if you're approaching a store and you go, is this the kind of store where I should be able to bring my dog? Here's some guidelines. If it has a polished concrete or cement floor, you can probably bring it in there. If the chances are that I can buy a rototiller in this place, it's probably okay that your dog goes in that store. If, however, it has carpeting and it's selling cologne, the Coach Bag Store would be another place you should not bring your dog. Dan, what did you want to say? You're on the air. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
We got a 150-pound Great Pyrenees, and he goes into all kinds of stores with us.
Oh,
yeah,
Dan.
He loves it. In fact, he loves the children. He loves the interaction, and the people love him, and he's pretty well-trained. He doesn't give us many, many problems. Generally, if we go somewhere with him, we get an issue. It's from about a 5-pound Chihuahua thinking he's big and tough. You know, but he goes in a lot. In fact, actually, a couple weeks ago, we had him in a local store, and he went up to a little girl, and he's tall. He sits, I don't know how tall he is, but he's a pretty big dog, and he actually put his head on the little girl's shoulder and let the girl give him a hug.
150-pound Great Pyrenees.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a big boy.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you something you already know. Not everybody's on board. Like, you are exactly what some of these people are talking about. You know that, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know it. And I agree. Dogs don't belong in a restaurant. I think there's a time and a place for it. And like your statement a few moments ago about a concrete floor, we don't take them in department stores. He goes into the pet stores and our local farm store. He's been into Lowe's with us, and he goes to places like that. He loves it, and the people love it.
What's your dog's name?
Overall, his name is Zeus. It's fitting for his size.
Of course it is. Hey, Dan, you have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
I appreciate your call. Hey, Mary, this is John. You're on WGN. What's up?
John, dogs are my number one phobia. Number one phobia. I am terrified of dogs. It doesn't matter what size. And I hear everybody calling up allergies or allergic to dogs. For years, I went under the excuse, because people would say, oh, the dog won't hurt you. So I started saying, well, I have medical reasons, I'm allergic. But I'm not. I'm terrified of dogs. Period. So, I go into establishments to get away from dogs. If I see one walking down the street or something. Anyway. I can't imagine I'm the only one in the world who's terrified of dogs.
I'm also pretty scared of dogs.
I just got a text from somebody, and they said my child and my elderly neighbor are best dog in the world. Could be a Labradoodle. They will be frightened of that dog.
Out of my mind, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
What a shame, because, there's a lot of dogs. Dogs are wonderful things. I'm sorry for you. Life must be difficult that way.
Yeah, it's more difficult now. It seems like everywhere I go, everybody has a dog. But, and it's hard. And I know that dogs have become like family members, so, I can't say, I'd like to come over, but you're going to have to put the dog in the bedroom or something. It's difficult. But that's just how it is. I am just completely terrified of dogs, no matter what size. I could, if I knew all of our military plans, you put me in the room with a little chihuahua or something, I would spill my guts.
All right, we've entrusted the nuclear code to Mary. Somebody comes in with a chihuahua in their purse, and you go 237-946.
Yes, in a heartbeat.
Wow. All right, well, then when I get to be king, Mary, you are not going to get the nuclear codes, just so you know. Bye.
And it's not like everybody has one dog now. Everybody has two.
Yeah, well, you got to have a pet for
I
the
know.
Pet.
Well, they need a friend. I'm really?
My Daisy could use some companionship. Brenda and I are talking about it all the time. But I think we're close enough to only having no dogs that maybe, you get
don't
in a dog.
Cave, John, don't
you get
cave.
In a dog loop. If you have one dog and then you have another dog for the dog, then you'll always be replacing the last lost dog and you will always have multiple dogs. But if you wait the one dog out and give them a civil goodbye someday, then you could have no dogs, which is a way to live as well.
Yeah, but then people say, oh, you should get a rescue dog. You'd be helping out.
My son, who is 30 years old, rolled his eyes at me the other day about our dog. And I said, Grant, we have Daisy, the Dizzy Dappled Dachshund, today because when you were 10, you wanted a wiener dog named Fred. So we got Fred, America's largest wiener dog, 20 years ago. And then when Fred passed, we got a replacement dog, and that dog needed another dog. I said, I'm sitting here in a condo, 1,300 square feet, and I got pee pads on the kitchen floor, and it's your fault. It's not mine. And he was kind of sorry that he asked. By the way, Jim, you wanted to say something. A lot of you were calling in about service animals. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How are you?
Good. Talk to me. What's on your mind?
I think service dogs, like legit, qualified, certified service dogs are, usually clearly labeled, have like the vest on, and I think they're like licensing and paperwork, either on them or the owner at all times. And that's one of the things they're running into with this emotional dog thing is apparently there's a way for them to get some kind of certificate of that's what the dog is for, but they need to be able to provide that on site if any, owner of an establishment requests it or what have you. So I don't know. And one more thing, I don't know how this happened in society, but I've had dogs and people have maybe never been in a rural setting or had cousins or relatives that were farmers. They've been around dogs that never were allowed to even go in the house ever. But I've taken my dogs in public a couple places over the years. It's a great big forest preserve. And they build whole parks now and call them dog parks. So maybe that's where the dogs should be going instead of into stores. Have a good day, John.
Thanks for the phone call. The dog parks are a kind of a new invention, aren't they? There's a dog beach on Michigan Avenue by, Montrose. And it's so much fun to watch. Even if you don't have a dog, go to a dog park beach. if you go there right now, I'm not, I can't guarantee this, but this happened recently. Brenda and I are going for a walk. Another time I was going for a jog. At the dog beach, it can be 30 degrees. The water can be freezing cold. You throw a tennis ball in there, a Labrador will happily jump in and get it. And I don't know how those dogs don't come to cardiac arrest.
Do they have lifeguards? That are dogs?
Not that I've seen. But literally, I don't know how that happens. How is it that a dog, they're mammals, they've got a little more hair, but I can't insulate them that much. How is it that a dog doesn't go, whoa, I'm not going in there. I can barely get in the water in August sometimes past my knees. And the dog just bounds in there. It doesn't seem to care a lick. And you think the first time the dog would say, okay, but I'm not doing that again. He goes right back in. He doesn't care. How is it the dogs don't seem to understand temperature? It's a tennis ball. We can do this in the spring. It makes no sense to me. I'm mystified by it. Elif says, take one last call. Take Nicole on line two. Hey, Nicole, you're on WGN.
My name is Nicole. Hi. I'm a veterinarian calling.
Oh, hi. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you? I'm a veterinarian calling. I also happen to raise service dogs for a national organization. And I actually completely disagree with the idea of having dogs just freely in public, in public stores, in malls. I see dogs, 20 to 30 dogs on a daily basis, and I feel like it takes a very trained eye to be able to recognize signs of stress and fear and anxiety in dogs. And to be out in public with a dog is very, very, very difficult to be certain that that dog is in a comfortable situation. And most owners don't necessarily recognize when their dogs are uncomfortable. And that puts mostly people at risk, sometimes children at risk, sometimes other dogs at risk. And I think that, like your last caller said, there's a certain place for dogs. They do great, many of them in their homes, in their yards, sometimes with other dogs, sometimes not. Dogs parks can be a great place for most dogs, but even the most emotionally balanced dog sometimes has troubles at the dog park. And I think that...
I completely agree with that. Answer this for me, though, if you don't mind, Doctor, and that is the people that say, but my dog loves going to the Home Depot. Talk to those people for a minute. What do you think the dog is experiencing there?
I think that the signs of fear and stress and anxiety are difficult to experience. For humans to recognize all the time. They're really subtle behavior changes that dogs will display. And sometimes people think those are signs of being real happy, and they're not. They're actually signs of being nervous.
Like their mouth is open, their tongue is out, that sort of thing?
Sure, or they're licking excessively, or their eyes are darting back and forth, or they're, like you said, panting. Those can be signs. You know, their tail, the way they carry their tail, their positioning. You know, those are all small signs that it's just hard to recognize as a human unless you work with dogs day to day. And I also, I think that there are many dogs that are trained as service dogs that need to be able to do their job to help people who have physical and emotional difficulties. And those dogs can't do their job when they're in a situation where, you know, they have to do their job in a situation where there are other dogs around them that are not well behaved.
Right.
But why test them? Why have to put them through that?
Yeah, that's difficult for that dog too.
Who need them? Yeah,
it's very helpful, Doctor. Where do you practice? If somebody wanted to avail themselves of your veterinary services, where are you?
Oh, nice, an endorsement. I'm at DuPage Animal Hospital in Villa Park. Thank you,
Nicole. Thank you for the call.
Okay, take care. Have a good night.
A little while ago, we were visiting with Dave Plyer. And on Sunday mornings at WGN Radio, here we are, Friday, it's 10:52. Sunday morning, it's 6:30. Dave will have his first new radio show on our station that features the music of Frank Sinatra. Before Dean Richards on Sunday mornings from 6:30 to 9, we're spinning records at AM 720 WGN. It will not be podcast. He reminded us it's a rights issue with broadcast and podcasting, but we have the rights to broadcast these songs. So if you want to hear it, the only way to listen to it is to tune in Sunday morning to this little radio station of ours. And imagine that, a radio station on the AM band these days playing music, and I think it's going to be a hit. I'm a Sinatra fan, but I think even people who aren't quote-unquote Sinatra-files will enjoy having a little Frank Sinatra in the background on your Sunday morning with a cup of coffee in the paper. Make that part of your routine that starts this Sunday at 6:30. And one other plug for something one of my colleagues is doing here at the radio station. Justin Kaufman on Extension 720 has been doing brackets on Chicago movies. He started with 64. Elif and I filled out brackets. He's down to a sweet 16 now. He did this with his listeners. And in order to sort of battle it out, he has advocates for the different movies come in. So, for instance, Monday night, Kristen Toomey and Michael Phillips, the film critic for the Chicago Tribune, are going to sit down and each advocate for a movie they say is the best Chicago movie, at least in this bracket, right? Maybe this won't win, but in the Sweet 16 right now, Untouchable squares off against Home Alone. Well, Untouchables has to win. There's no doubt about that. Untouchables wins that one, right?
That's a tough one. I don't know about that. Time of year has got the Christmas time going for it.
Hoop Dreams versus Risky Business.
Risky Business.
Hoop Dreams is so Chicago. I enjoyed watching Risky Business more. I've watched that many times. I watched Hoop Dreams once. Great Chicago movie. I'm not sure what the criteria is. Is it the movie you like the most, or is it the movie that you feel most exudes Chicago? In that case, I would say, I don't know, Risky Business is it's a good Chicago movie, but Hoop Dreams maybe is more Chicago, if you will. How about this one? Fugitive versus Christmas Vacation.
Fugitive.
Christmas Vacation, I think, should win the whole thing.
Wait, did you say Ferris Bueller?
Ferris Bueller versus Cooley High.
I think oh, Ferris Bueller wins.
I'm sure that
me
Ferris...
Me too. Ferris, I wanted to win the whole thing with you, Ellen.
It maybe should, maybe it could. Wayne's World, High Fidelity. Who wins?
High Fidelity.
Wayne's World. But I've never seen High Fidelity. I should shut up.
No, I didn't. I haven't seen Cooley High, but... I've seen enough of Wayne's World. I would say High Fidelity. Blues Brothers, Uncle Buck.
Oh, that's easy. Blues Brothers.
I don't think Blues Brothers should lose this thing either, now that you think about it. Is there a more Chicago movie than Blues Brothers, for crying out loud? Dark Knight, About Last Night.
About Last Night.
I don't like that movie.
I got to go with Dark Knight just because of Lower Wacker.
I think you're right, Mary. I think I'm with you on that one. But there's one other one that I didn't mention here. Backdraft. Forgot about that movie. That was all the rage. Ron Howard made that movie. And Adventures in Babysitting. These are the 16 he's left with now. Some of the ones that you think, wait, where are they? They've already been defeated. Probably Christmas Vacation knocked them off or something. But I'll go with Backdraft on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. The Babysitter one?
Adventures in Babysitting.
I remember that one.
It's coming up on 11 o'clock on WGN. We noticed that, who was it that had her retina detached, got torn on the Today Show? Savannah Guthrie. And it got me to thinking, the last time we had the doctor that reattached my retina a couple of months ago, it's been a while since she's been on. But I was going to ask her about the Savannah Guthrie story. And the last time she was on, good grief, was she helpful to a lot of you with your basic nuts and bolts eye questions. Floaters, bright lights, looking too closely at a screen for too long. What should you know about all of that? Hi, it's John Williams. Happy Friday morning to you. You hear me now weekdays from 9 to noon. Feature we used to do on my afternoon show was The Bright Side of Life. I've taken it with me wherever I go. And we're now going to put it in the last segment on our Friday show. That seems to be a pretty good idea right before the weekend starts, which is now officially going to be at noon on Fridays. So getting you right up to that, we'll ask you to call in. Tell us something good in your world. What's making you smile? What's your bright side? And we'll all share those on the radio. We hand out some bright side pins from our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. They've sponsored them. Elif, what's the name of the company that makes those pins?
Big League Pins.
Big League Pins. Pins are all the rage these days. There's a small company, a couple of ladies that I've met only through this radio station, and they do such a good job with these metal and enamel pins. They'll custom make them for you, your event, your company, whatever, your family. The more you order, the less the price, but it's not expensive at all. And so Joint Relief Institute bought a whole bunch of them that we had specially made that say Brightside. They've got a sun on there, and it's just a reminder to have a good day and appreciate the good things in your life. And that's what we do on Fridays at 11:45. So Big League Pins, shout out for you. Thank you, Joint Relief Institute, for sponsoring the segment and getting the pins to the people. Now we just need to hear your bright side. You can call or text in about a half an hour. We'll do it at 11:45 or so on Friday mornings, and our first edition of that on the morning show will be today. We'll do that about 11:45. Another little piece of good news is that I'm going to ask you again, Elif, is it Wednesday the 18th of December that we're doing our little radiothon for the Salvation Army?
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, December 18th, at this time, we're going to carve out a couple of hours and raise as much money as we can for my virtual kettle for the Salvation Army. You can go online right now, WGNradio.com, John Williams page, right-hand corner. There's us shaking a bell. You can click on there and, with your credit card, make a donation. This year, during our little radiothon, we're going to spend a couple of hours telling stories about the good the Salvation Army does and asking you to make a donation. You'll also be able to call in and make a donation that day. Our goal is $35,000, and we are at what, Producer Elif?
$2,835, John.
Oh, you can see it from where you are.
That is surprising to me. Are you saying, Steve, you can see it, meaning we're getting close to our goal?
Yeah, it's not too far away. I mean, if you, with the right magnitude of telescope, you can get there.
To be honest with you, last year we were zeroing in on, I think our goal last year was $10,000, and we raised about $30,000, which was ridiculous. So now they said, well, let's go $35,000. I do not want to come up short. We're closer, I guess, is my point this year, to our $30,000 goal than we were last year to our less ambitious goal. I think this time last year we had about $9.48 and a button. Some old Juicy Fruit chewing gum. That's what we had last year at this time. Steve, I don't want to pull up. So WGNradio.com. And please be listening. It's going to be a fun show. Wednesday, December 18th. Steve, that story about the stabbing on the Red Line platform. That
right,
was
this
Fullerton.
Morning. Mm-hmm.
I went right by there an hour later. I mean, that's my train. I don't get off at Fullerton or get on, but two stops from there, I do. And I've certainly used that platform before. And that's not a bad area. There are other areas that are, I shouldn't say bad, but you know what I mean? There's some areas where...
higher crime areas?
Exactly. And in neither of those locations do I very often see police officers patrolling the platforms or the stations. And I think there should be a cop. You're so vulnerable when you're up there sometimes. And if suddenly you find yourself in a train car or on a platform and it looks like somebody might be getting ready to mug you, you really don't have many recourses, much recourse there. Would it be that difficult for them to have a cop on every platform, just patrolling that area?
Yeah, I would think it'd be pretty expensive, yeah.
There's 100, and so we looked it up. There's 145 L-stop stations. So I'm looking for 150 police officers for two full shifts a day.
Two full shifts? So which shifts would you not have them there?
I think 6A to...
This happened at 6A.
Yeah. All right, three shifts a day then.
So it's 450 officers.
Affirmative. Full-time.
Right. No can do. That's a lot, John.
You know how many people go through, how many people use the CTA each day?
How many?
1.7 million rides. If those are round trips to and from work or school, mm-hmm. figure 800,000 people a day.
And how many people get attacked on the CTA?
Doesn't happen that often.
It's very rare, well, pretty rarely.
I think it happens often enough. I'm thinking that that many people, you can justify that much of a police force to protect that many people. It's not random. I mean, we're talking about 1.7 million rides a day, 800,000 people, or maybe you ride it three times, then it comes down. But it's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people a day are on the CTA. And public transportation is too important, too vital. And you'd hate to think that, well, but you are on the Red Line down by Sox Park. What are you thinking? I mean, literally, I think about that sometimes in the summer. If I'm going to go down there and make some stops along the way, I think, well, okay, I hope I get there safely.
I mean,
that should not be a concern.
I understand what you're saying, but I just don't think it's practical. And you're talking about having 450 officers at the train stations, right? What about when you get on the train and you're going between stations? I mean, there's risk there as well.
I think sometimes they should have people walking up and down the train cars. And once in a rare while, you will. But not often enough. Frankly, if you did it more often, if they did it a lot more often than they do, I think it would have a chilling effect on crime anyway, right? That is, if every other time you saw a cop walking up and down the C, the L, up and down literally car to car as it's moving along, right. People do that. If you just had a guy saying good morning to everybody patrolling, I think that would do a lot to chill out the whole scene. I don't know what it costs. It costs $11 jillion.
Yeah, it costs too much.
Really?
I mean, especially when you measure the amount of crime happening at your L stop compared to what's happening in Englewood or other places, you know, that you're going to take resources. I don't know. I just don't think that's a very practical. I think, you know, it's personally impacting you right now, so you're seeing it in a, maybe a skewed way.
They had a stabbing or a mugging on...
It was a shooting yesterday at Howard, right?
Yeah.
And then a guy was stabbed in the leg today at Fullerton.
And there was a Belmont, and I don't remember what the nature of the crime was, but Belmont's the next stop from Fullerton. And that's just the red line we're talking about here, which is the most used of the lines in the CTA system, too. So maybe we don't have room for all of them, but I'm just scratching my head about resources, and maybe we should apply more to those places. It's 11:14. This is WGN. I'm John Williams, Scaredy Cat, and Dr. Fauci is on the phone line. Is that right, Producer Elif? Oh, she's in the studio? She's going to... Oh, that call is for Dr. Fauci. Oh, good. She's already getting calls. She's the... what is her title? She's an ophthalmological surgeon. She's the woman that reattached my retina earlier this year. Savannah Guthrie's son threw his toy truck at her, hit her in the face, and tore her retina. That's kind of been a story, which made me think, oh, let's ask Dr. Fauci to come back on, particularly since the last time Dr. was here, so many of you had basic nuts and bolts questions about your eye and your eye health. Dr. Fauci, welcome back to the studio. How are you?
Thank you, John. It's a great pleasure to be here.
It's 11:19 on WGN. It says here Dr. Fauci, and I don't remember your first name, Dr. Fauci.
Amani.
Amani Fauci. Where are you from, by the way?
Egypt, originally.
Were you born in the United States or born in Egypt?
Born at home, Egypt.
In Egypt. Yeah. When did you emigrate to the United States?
Ooh, 1998.
Did you always want to be an eye doctor?
Yeah, for sure.
98. So were you a doctor there?
Yeah, I was already an eye doctor at that point.
You are now an ophthalmological surgeon. What is your title? What do you do?
A professor at Northwestern. And professor of ophthalmology.
A professor of ophthalmology. But you also work on detached retinas.
Yeah,
so you're a surgeon.
Yeah.
I see. You were the doctor that I saw when one day my retina detached, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
I just saw a couple flashes of lightning. The next day, it looked like I was looking through a photographic film. I went to the emergency room at Northwestern after waiting a full day because, you know, I'm a guy and I thought it'll take care of itself.
Right.
But I knew something bad was happening. And then 24 hours after going into the ER, you reattached my retina, correct?
Absolutely.
We got so many calls about my experience. And then, as it turns out, Savannah Guthrie was sitting there with her 2- or 3-year-old. He picked up his toy truck, threw it in her face, hit her in the eye, and her retina tore. Have you followed this story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched that story. And it's not unusual that babies will do crazy things, even jabbing their eye at someone. Mom's eyes.
How often is a detached or torn retina a function of trauma, like what she went through, or me, just randomly it gets weak and rips?
So I'd say maybe 50-50.
Really?
So some people just have weak retinas and any simple trauma can cause it, and some people, you know, have it when the gel detaches naturally and then a tear happens.
So I think this is what happened to me. Tell me, as I've been telling the story now, I think I've got it right based on what you told me. So when mine tore... Right? I didn't go in right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then that fluid in your eye starts to go in where the tear is, and now it starts to push the retina away from the eyeball wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not just a torn retina, it's a detached retina. Now it's pulling away. If I'd gone in sooner, the repair would have been simpler, correct?
Absolutely.
Maybe I would have kept more vision, although I think I have 100% of my vision. My field is clear.
Awesome.
So, but I mean, you're playing with time if you don't get it done right away. How long between a torn or detached retina and you don't get that eyesight back?
So that's a great question. So if you catch it when it's just a tear and you could laser it in the office, that's a simple procedure.
Would be done in the office.
In the office.
Zip, and we're done.
And you're awake. We don't have to put you to sleep or nothing. So then it turns into a retinal detachment. And if it's like in your case, it never involves the center, then your chances of getting your central vision back and most of your field back are almost 100%.
Really?
Then if you waited longer, then your central vision would go away. You'd have a hard time reading or seeing people. And that would be a harder fix because then it could take up to a year to get back most of your vision and sometimes not all of it.
Yeah.
It depends on how long you wait.
But it's funny because if the retina is detached, as it is inside there, you'd think that tissue not going to live, it's going to die. Or does it still have blood going to it and it's still alive?
That's a great question again. So the blood supply comes in from the inside of the retina, so it's okay. But the outer retina, where the most sort of important cells for vision are, those are the cells that are starved the most. So the inner retina stays alive, but the photoreceptors, the light-sensing cells, they're the ones that are starving.
Yeah. So then you were on with us, and you were telling this story. Sounds like Savannah Guthrie's going to be okay. She's getting laser treatments, and they say she's fine.
Yeah.
More or less. Yeah. She says that anyway. But she's also kind of like I was, afraid to move about.
Right.
She doesn't want to jingle her head too much and have the thing go boink again,
right.
Which may be necessary in her case, it sounds like. Then we just started to ask you general questions about eye health.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm looking at a computer screen for 8 hours a day, does that damage my vision? And you said no.
No. I get that question almost every day.
I can't believe that you would say that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think if we're sedentary and sitting there looking at devices all day long, that's not good for our general health.
Right.
But in terms of your eyeballs, it's not hurting them.
No, it's not. It's not. As long as you're wearing your correct prescription. So some people are wearing the wrong prescription and they get headaches at the end of the day and things like that. These people need to check their prescription, make sure they have the right one in so they don't get the strains and stresses on their eye.
Having expressed my story, I know people now when they see floaters, they're running to their eye doctors. Mm-hmm. A shower of a bunch of floaters could be a sign that you've hurt your retina, correct?
Absolutely.
But as we get older, don't we have more floaters anyway?
So I tell my patients, if you have the same floater that you've named, that you know, you don't have to worry about him. But if you get a new shower of floaters, any little ones, a ton of them, those are the ones you need to be concerned about.
Okay, but I think a lot of people have more today. If I'm 60, I'll bet I have more floaters in my field of vision than I was 20.
Absolutely.
So when do you become alarmed? It's the suddenness of it, isn't it?
The acuteness. Yeah, the acuteness and the newness of them and the amount. So the large amount, acutely, and new. Those are the three things to watch.
You know, when we go to the eye doctor to get our glasses, a lot of us squint and cheat. Did you know that?
Yeah, I see it.
You can
every
tell
day.
Us every single
I
day.
I see it. And cheating from the other eye.
Oh, I know. And I don't know what that is. It's a matter of vanity, I guess. Like, I don't want to admit I'm not doing as well as I'm not doing.
Yeah.
But you're trying to get prescription lenses. So I guess you should never squint and cheat when you're doing that, right?
I think it's not in your interest to get the wrong glasses because then they won't work once you leave the office and you can't squint all the time.
Well, you do, but then you get the new glasses and you squint more.
Yeah.
Do you care if I get bifocals or trifocals or the blended lenses?
I personally don't care, but sometimes it's hard for people to adjust. So if you're always used to having single vision lenses and you switch to bifocals, it takes an adjustment period. So it's something that you have to be aware of, that you have to move your head to see things. And when you're going downstairs with a bifocal, it could trip you out.
Is there something about diet for diabetics or the rest of us that we should know to make our eyes better?
So for people in general, a healthy diet is good, and eating lots of greens is good for the retina.
Really? Not necessarily carrots, right?
Anything that's green, got lots of greens. So the greener, the better. Kales, spinaches.
Are good for your eyes.
Good for your eyes in general.
What about diabetics?
Diabetics is a healthy diabetic diet is good for the eyes. There's nothing special about diabetes. Whatever's good for diabetes is good for the eye.
Or good for a regular person is good for a diabetic.
Absolutely.
With respect to their eye care.
Absolutely.
My number is 312-981-7200. Not surprisingly, lots of calls and questions for our guest. You can call or text right now. Dr. Amani. I'm sorry.
Like Giorgio.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Fauzi is here, and she's a professor of
ophthalmology
at Northwestern. Okay, 312-981-7200. You get to ask your questions next on WGN. Tell me if you can relate to this at all.
Okay.
If I feel a sneeze coming on, I can look in a bright light and that will trigger my sneeze.
Right.
Do you know that? Do you have that?
Yeah, that's true.
Is that pretty common, do you think?
Is this a Bill Bryson thing?
I have not read it in his book, but I carry it with me, and I could read to you passages from Bill Bryson's The Body.
No, I think that's the thing. If you look at a bright light, it brings on a sneeze.
Dr. Imani Fauzi from Northwestern
is here.
You're
going to make me a liar, right?
No, it's true. It's true, but it doesn't happen to everybody. And so in patients which have it, I have to be careful, because as soon as I put the light in their eye, they...
Achoo!
Yeah. So I got to be careful with them.
And Dr. Steve, I read one time, I don't know where I found this, but it said there's a name for that reflex, and that it tends to happen in people that have higher IQs, more intelligent people.
Well, so I don't know if I have it, because if I have a sneeze coming on and I look at the light, it brings on the sneeze. It
right.
helps it along.
That's me.
But it doesn't just... I don't just sneeze if I look at a bright light.
Me neither. Right. But for some people, literally that. Look at a bright light.
And then they start sneezing.
Oh, wow.
And they know themselves. So they warn me.
Warn you. Hey, doc, you might want to put up a sneeze tray or say a guard or something like that, huh?
Yeah.
Dr. Imani Fauzi is in our studio. She's an ophthalmologist and surgeon at Northwestern. She is downtown. She's the doctor that I saw when I detached my retina earlier this year. We talked too much about that, but I'm not the only one that goes through this or has questions about eye care, safety, and health. We asked the doctor to come back and answer some of your questions. Doctor, I was diagnosed with dry eye. What is that? How is it corrected? Dry eye?
So that's a very, very common thing. So the tear film is not adequate to cover the eyes. And some people, sometimes it's aging, sometimes the weather, sometimes it's a disease of dryness of the mouth and the eye. So there are many ways to do it. Sometimes diet helps. Eating omega fatty acids is thought to help. But you should see an eye doctor who could fix it. So there's ways to
preserve. There is a way to treat that.
Preserve it, yeah.
John, why do I sneeze multiple times when I walk outside and my eyes hit the sunshine? This is me and Steve Bertrand.
Yeah.
This is not uncommon.
It's nothing
to be concerned about.
No, it's not a disease.
773, should I be concerned if I see occasionally after standing up or bending, I see stars? I'm a female, age 31, I'm healthy, but when I stand up or bend from squatting position, I see stars.
So that could be a sign of something going on with your blood pressure. So I would see a general doctor first to make sure that your blood pressure doesn't fall.
You can understand why they see eye doctor, because it's what I'm seeing. But that strikes you as not an eye problem.
It could be something related to
blood
pressure.
A blood flow problem.
Yeah, blood pressure.
Mike, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Mike? You're on the air.
Yes, doctor. I was wondering, what is the best and safest treatment for diabetic retinopathy? And the reason why I ask is, I have retina tears in my right eye. They did the laser treatment and then put the gas bubble in it. When the gas bubble finally went away, I don't have central vision in my right eye anymore. My left eye also had retina tears. They did the cryotherapy, and I've got a macular pucker there. And I'm going to see a retina specialist this coming week, and I think I may need some kind of procedure, but I think there's two different ones. Do you recommend one over the other? Because if anything happens to my left eye, then I can't read, I can't drive.
Okay, any ideas for him?
So I think it depends on what type of diabetic retinopathy you have. So there's areas of the diabetic retinopathy that we could just simply treat with a laser, but there's areas where we actually absolutely have to give you injections. So it sort of depends on what kind of diabetic retinopathy you have. If you have swelling in the retina, do you have new blood vessels growing, do you have bleeding in the retina, all those things require different types of treatment.
I hope that helps. Thank you for the call. We can't diagnose people's cases too thoroughly here, but we want to give out some general information if we can. This texter said, do you think it's a good idea for people to wear sunglasses year-round, regardless of the weather? I think some people think I'm protecting my eyes if I wear sunglasses. Is this a good idea?
So there's good evidence that sunglasses in sunlight protect from UV radiation, but you're right. Sometimes there's sun hidden by clouds and there's UV there that we're not seeing. So if you feel that you're out in a bright light and there's, especially when you're skiing, for example, that's why we wear sunglasses when we're skiing.
I think that's what Joe's kind of talking about online, too. Hey, Joe, are you there?
Yeah, that's exactly what my question was. Is there a difference between no protection sunglasses or sunglasses with UVA and B protection?
And that's what we're looking for. UVA and B is the main reason we wear sunglasses, not just for the light, but it's the damaging UV light that
when people buy sunglasses, do they think about that? Should I look for UVA and UVB protection on my sunglasses?
Absolutely. I never thought of that.
Because is this true, and Joe, maybe this is why you're worried, but I mean, the same way your skin gets sunburned, you can sunburn the interior of your eye. You need that particular kind of coating. Is that
absolutely
correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we get that even in a cloudy day that, like today.
Yeah, so I've heard. Joe, does that help?
It does help. And so if I have no protection at all, then that means that is my retina or my pupil opening up larger and actually letting more UV light in with no protection?
The pupil doesn't open up when you don't have sunglasses, but it's just in general, the exposure to that UV light, regardless of where your pupil is getting into the eye, and it's a good idea to protect
against. Okay, UVA, UVB, buy them that way. And maybe it's a little more expensive, but if you're going to spend the money, spend it smart. Joe, thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Jill. You're on WGN with Dr. Fauci. Hi, Jill. You're on the air.
Hi. My question for the doctor is, I am beginning to develop almost like a prism light around each peripheral vision on both of my eyes. I cover one up to see if it's on both, and it is. I'm 65, and I don't wear glasses. I do wear readers.
So I think what you're experiencing is probably the earliest development of cataract in the eye. So you get these little spokes of irregular shaped things in the periphery of the lens, and they could do that kind of prismatic effect to the light. And so I'd suggest you see an eye doctor who specializes in cataract, and they can evaluate it. If it's very minor and it's not really affecting your daily life, I would just defer to the eye exam. If it's bothering you, we recommend addressing it. If it's not really that...
Well, cataracts, you lose your vision, don't you, if it's severe?
So, yeah, it's not, as cataracts progress, they could affect your central vision, your reading, your driving at night.
But it's possible that if it's early stages or not so severe, don't do anything about it?
Yeah, so if it's not affecting your daily life, surgery is...
Yeah, but I
want
to do something now to keep it from getting worse, no?
So there's no point of no return. So cataracts are elective surgeries. We don't recommend them emergently or urgently. There's nothing to lose by waiting if it's not affecting your vision.
Oh, no kidding, really. So I can wait as long as I want, and then when I get the cataract surgery, I will be restored as fully as if I had acted sooner.
Absolutely.
You can wait and you don't... Yeah. Unlike the detached retina story.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Didn't know that. But, of course, I'm not an eye doctor.
But you're
That's
getting
why
there.
You're here. She calls me Dr. John. Thanks for the call, Jill. I hope that helps.
It does very much. Thank you.
And I appreciate your phone call. Frank, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you, Frank? You're on the air. Hold on a second. Hey, Frank, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Hi, Frank. What do you want to say? You're on with Dr. Fauci.
Good morning, Dr. Good morning, John. Years ago, I had someone tell me that if you're, say, like in church or a public place where you're trying to stop yourself from sneezing, you're supposed to look at the light, but a lot of people that I have told to do this, they just tilt their head and look straight up at the light. But what I was told the right way to do it was keep your head level and look up with your eyes as far as you can to kind of stretch out the sinus cavity, and that kind of suppresses the sneeze. Is there any truth behind that?
But how about
it does, that does work. That does work for myself.
Yeah, I don't know the science about
that. You're not a sneziologist, are you?
But I don't know the science, but I'll look that up. That sounds very interesting.
I'm going to try that next time, Frank, because Bertrand and I go through that thing all the time. But now instead of looking up, I'm just going to look forward and tilt my eyes up, right?
That's the important thing, to keep your head level and to stretch out the eye muscles or the eyeballs to go, like, to roll your eyes into your head as far as you can. And half the time it's successful, and the other half, I can't explain why it does or does not work.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, Frank, thanks for the phone call. That's advice from Frank, not from Dr. Fauci, just to be clear about that, but I don't mind. There was another call I wanted to get in here, and I think it's Karen. Hey, Karen, this is John. You're on the air. What can we do for you, Karen?
Yes,
My son, back in 2005, wore his contacts for like 48 hours straight, went swimming, the whole thing slept in them, and ended up with something called acanthamoeba. And it's very serious condition. Thankfully, UIC saved his eye. Most times people end up with a cornea transplant. But I just want people to be aware of the fact that when your eye doctor tells you, wash your hands before you put your contacts in, or don't wear them all the time, make sure you clean them. It's not just because you're going to get pink eye or conjunctivitis. It's because you can actually get an amoeba that will attack the nerves inside your eye and damage it. And one other comment, too. I've had my eyes checked forever. And that puff of air that they do for the pressure in the eye isn't always accurate, because I found out when they actually touched my eye that I ended up having, I have glaucoma, and now I'm being treated for that. Even though I yearly had that puff of pressure done, it was inaccurate. Just encourage everybody to get a baseline.
Thank you for the call. Pressures. Hold on. I want the doctor to comment on all of that.
So these are great ideas. So the other thing about acanthamoeba is don't wash your contact lenses with just clear water. Use the solutions that that the doctors recommend, because that water contact lens lets these bacteria and fungi grow on the
That's on the concern. It's not just scratching your cornea, but it's this fungus that can grow in there.
Yeah.
That's what her son got through. Do you have an opinion about soft contact lenses or wearable contact lenses, that sort of thing?
The most important thing is not to wear them too much. So basically, don't sleep in your contact lenses, regardless of whether they're breathable or not breathable.
You would still take them out.
Take them out at night, because you could starve the cornea of oxygen and cause problems.
And she said, wash your hands, make sure
that
you're clean.
Wash your hands and use clean solution. Don't use expired solution. Don't use a solution that's been there for a long time. And definitely don't swim with your contacts on.
Pages and calls for Dr. Amani Fauzi from Northwestern. She's an ophthalmologist there and a professor of ophthalmology. We're out of time. It goes quickly, doesn't it?
Thank you, John. This has been fun.
Has it been?
Yeah.
I think you've always got a smile.
I've learned something.
about sneezing. You've always got a smile on your face. Your information is always very helpful. Will you come back on again sometime in the near future?
Absolutely.
We will make it abundantly clear when she will return. Otherwise, everybody, take care of yourself. And Dr. Fauzi, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, John.
I will continue to take your questions about eye health. However, I do not have a degree in ophthalmology. I do not have a degree in medicine. I got a C in chemistry in high school. And some of that was because I sat next to Terry Glennon. So I'm not sure that I'm the most qualified person to do this. That's weird. I was actually thinking about that. It wasn't... I did not look at Terry Glennon's paper in chemistry, but I did one time in physical science. And to this day, I feel bad about that. Smartest kid in my school.
Did she hold you back?
Terry was a guy.
Oh.
But the teacher was a female. And Terry would, we were buddies. We'd sit next to each other. And maybe once, but I remember we had a test. And it was multiple choice. And I kind of glanced over and looked at his test. He saw me looking at him, and he didn't fight it. He kind of allowed it. But, Steve, to this day, I feel bad about that.
That just shows what a good person you are, John, and a bad cheater.
I know, really. And I justified it by saying, well, I knew the answer was D or C, but I was just checking, because it would be a shame if my test score did not reflect my knowledge. I literally convinced myself that that was all I was doing. I was not being fair. So anyway, your questions about eye health, I'll take them now. 312-981-7200. No, I will not. But lots of questions for the doctor, and Amani Fauzi will join us again sometime after the first of the year. I think she should be a guest every month or two, just to try and help us all stay as healthy as we can. Okay, so I've only got one call right now for The Bright Side, but it's not our routine. Normally, here's what we do. We would do a segment where we would tell you about some fun things going on in town, and I would do this with Lauren Lapka. Laura's not sitting in the big chair right now, so we're not going to do that this week. And then we segue from there to The Bright Side. And what it is it's this happy little song I'm going to play for you. And I suspect if you've been a regular listener of this radio station before, you kind of know how the bit goes. We play the song and then you call or text. But you can call or text right now. The number's 312-981-7200. And the cue has always been this song.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad.
So call me right now.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
312-981.
When you're chewing on life's gristle.
7200.
Grumble.
give a whistle.
And just tell me anything.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
That's making you smile.
And always look on the bright side of life.
For instance, I've got a cold. I'm not feeling that well today.
Always look on.
But next Monday, some friends and I are going to meet at Malnati's, have some beer and pizzas, and celebrate.
If life seems jolly,
let's have a little pre-holiday happy hour. That's my bright side today. Oh, and I'll tell you what another bright side is. I follow two basketball teams. Steve, you'll never guess what they are.
Marquette and Butler.
Butler and not Marquette.
The undefeated.
The undefeated Butler Bulldogs. And the other team I follow especially closely, God bless Northwestern, they're on our radio station, but the other team I follow closely is the DePaul Blue Demons. And DePaul's undefeated. Page one of the sports section yesterday. So my teams are 17-0. I've got an 8-0 and a 9-0. And I've just been having so much fun. Grant and I went to the DePaul game 2 nights ago. And Grant said, did you have, where's the last night? 2 nights ago. He said, did you enjoy that? And I said, not as much as I thought, because I was so keyed up. I was so anxious for us to beat Texas Tech.
Ridiculous.
He goes, you did not look like you were enjoying it. And we won in overtime. I said, I taped the game. I don't know if I can watch it yet. I need to settle down.
Always look on.
Steve, do you have a bright side you'd like to share with everybody?
I was talking last week with my son and his college friends about pop tops and the evolution of them. and can openers and things.
Kind of a conversation a father has with
his
son.
It is. And so just 10 minutes ago, I located a timeline for pop tops. And you know the ones that you would pull that you'd have to be careful not to walk on because people would throw them
in the grass? Oh, yeah, right. They're sharp, yeah.
So those were used from 1965 to 1975.
So, Steve, that's your bright side?
That I just shared it with my son. Further information.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, there's no judging bright sides. I just didn't know if you were done yet. If that makes you happy.
You want to know what led to this?
Do I?
We still have those can openers with the pointy ends on them. But there's no reason to use
that's
them.
That's right. You don't need to puncture the top of the can anymore.
No.
Forget. All right, let's start with Melanie. All our lines are ringing now, so let's see what we get here. Melanie, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hi, John. I'm an adjunct professor at your alma mater, JJC.
Woohoo!
Yeah, next week is finals week, so yay!
By the way, what are you a professor of there, Melanie?
I teach anatomy.
Anatomy?
Yep.
I'll just say this about Joliet Junior College. I'm sure it is the same today as it was then. I got a terrific education there. The facility, the staff, and the faculty were fantastic. You guys do a great job at Joliet Junior College. Go Wolves.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Melanie.
Stop, be silly chumps.
Cindy, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Cindy? You're on the air.
Oh, hi, John. We are expecting to be grandparents around December 23rd for the very first time. We are so excited. I just can hardly wait.
I'll bet. Especially with the holidays, huh? Thanks for the call. Sally, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Sally?
Hi, John. I'm excited about you guys changing your time frame. And my son texted me just to remind me this morning, he's 35, just to make sure that his mom remembered to tune in and listen to The Brighter Side.
Oh, what a nice young... Boy, you raised that kid right now, didn't you?
I think so. Have a good day.
Always look on the right side of life.
Hey, Mary, it's John. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Mary?
Hey, John, I'm smiling through tears. We celebrated my son's first anniversary of a double lung transplant. It's been a blessing and a miracle, and we thank the selflessness of the donor family.
Amen.
To give my son a better life.
I'm so happy for you. We live in amazing times, don't we, that something like that could happen?
John, it's unbelievable. Life that they've given my son. We thank them every single day.
Thanks for the call, Mary. You have a good weekend now.
Will do, John. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Paul? You're on the air.
Hey, John, I'm taking a vacation day, and any time I get to listen to you puts a smile on my face.
That's my bright side. Thank you, sir. It's nice of you to say. How about Raymond? Hey, Ray, you're on WGN. What's the good news of Ray's life?
Well, usually I don't get to participate or listen to The Bright Side because I'm a teacher and you always have it when I'm teaching. But now that you're earlier, I can listen during lunch, so
woo-hoo.
It's great.
Oh, you're on lunch break, huh?
Yep.
And how many more days, Ray, until Christmas vacation for you guys?
2 weeks.
You hang in there. Thanks for the call, Raymond.
Thanks, bud.
Hey, Lou, you're on WGN, and Lou is on line 6. Hey, Lou, this is John. You're on the air. Why are you smiling?
Because I won the magnificent Monday morning quiz on the John Williams Show.
Ah, the mega quiz. What was the category? What were you answering questions about?
Chicago Christmas movies, I think.
Oh, something. Yeah, you did really well on that, Lou.
I did, and I was in a saloon talking about it to a friend of mine, and three people said, "Hey, I heard that. You did really well."
Yeah, boy, Lou, you keep listening. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, John.
Hey, Joyce, you're on WGN Radio. Why are you smiling, Joyce? What's some good news in your world today?
Hi, John. I'm just like the other people that called, and I am thrilled that you are on the morning show and that the Bright Side is now at lunchtime. Makes my day. Thank you.
You just made mine. Thanks for the call. Thanks again to the folks at the Joint Relief Institute for sponsoring the Bright Side Life segment. We gave away lots of my... not my pillows. We gave away lots of those Bright Side of Life pins, courtesy of the Joint Relief Institute. We'll do it again next Friday. Lots of calls on this today. We're out of time, but thank you for joining in. And that'll be our Friday feature. Let's make it our get-together. John, you can call in anytime you want.
Oh, look at that. Thanks for the invitation.
Over in Studio D, John Rash is getting ready to do the noontime business lunch. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well.
I said John Rash, John Hanson.
I didn't know what you said, but I was fine with it. I'm going to go with whatever you say, John.